Well, this morning about 5 o'clock in Haiti, the team got together, got up, got ready for church. They had to be down on campus by about 5:30. Dusty, Terry, and the rest of the guys are down there, and they're going to have a great day of service. And they're probably still in service now because they run about 5 or 6 hours down there with all the different preaching and speaking that's going on. So while Dusty's down there, I have the joy of getting to come here, and you guys got to hear me, and we're going to have all kinds of fun. One of the unique things is, Dusty came to me, says, by the way, while I'm gone, you're speaking. I said, all right, I could do that. Just a couple weeks back, he says, you are kind of timid at times and kind of held back, and you don't really speak your mind that often. So the topic of the day is in the sermon series of the book of Acts, you get to speak on boldness. Yeah, you guys laughing because that's exactly what I thought. Oh, my goodness, Dusty. Do you know what you're going to do to me? I'm going to be in trouble. So, anyway, I decided I was going to consult with some people a little more spiritual than I am, a little more together. So I met with a group of guys Monday. I said, hey, guys, I'm in trouble here because I got to speak on boldness. And they're like, well, let us help you out. Give them a notice that you are not going to step on their feet. You're going to stomp on them. So I said, okay, you guys aren't helping me. So I went to my weightlifting group and told them what was going on. They said, all right, let us help you title the message. If the shoe fits, wear it. They didn't help me much either. But we are in a sermon series and that starts off every series, the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 4. And it's boldness and prayer. One of the unique things going on is every series, when we hit the book of Acts, you're going to hear a message that's going to follow by a series, and this one's going to be on prayer. So Dusty assigns me this topic. I look at it and study it. And what's going on in history is Peter and John had been in prison for proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And while they were in prison, they were released. They got out, and they came back to this little town and were telling everybody what happened. And the reason they were in jail is because they're being persecuted for faith. I want to read a text to you. It's in Acts chapter 4. We're going to jump in about verse 23 and see what happens. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised up their voices in prayer to God. Interesting, I've got to pause here. How many of you know Frank Henniger? Y'all hear Frank? You heard Frank pray before, haven't you? If you're in a different room, you still hear Frank pray. He is the loudest prayer I've ever known. He's like, dear Lord! Like, goodness sakes, Frank, I'm not deaf and neither is God. But when I look at this passage, this is exactly what happened. This is a Frank-type prayer. It says, sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of this earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel and this city and conspired against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and your will decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch your hands to heal, to perform miraculous signs and wonders through your name, through the name of your servant, Jesus. Did you get that? They prayed for boldness and speech to proclaim a gospel message. Now, if you all have been studying, Dusty kind of hit it earlier in the series, that in Acts chapter 1, there's this verse. It says that they have a great task ahead of them. What's it say in Acts chapter 1 about verse 8? Okay, it's not rhetorical. You're allowed to speak to me. You're allowed to answer. Anybody know? What is that? Be bold. Be bold, it doesn't say it, Larry. Yeah, thanks for answering. I appreciate it. It says you're supposed to do something to all these places. Start here and go there and even further out to the ends of the earth. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Very good. How about Samaria? Isn't there? You must be a student minister. Yeah, it gives a great task, a mighty task that we're supposed to perform, and we're supposed to go to all the ends of the earth. So when they also did this prayer, that the earth shook around them, and all the believers were in one heart and mind. They're all unified together. And they understood that they had an overwhelming task. Well, when you are given an overwhelming task, you need to realize a few things. All right? One of the little things you're supposed to realize is that you cannot do it on your own. See, many people, we're taught here in America that we are smart, highly educated people. We have the power and the ability to do anything before us, and we grab a hold of a task, and we charge forward. We want to do it. We want to do it ourselves. How many of you are that way? Just charge ahead and try to do it all on your own? You're the ones that throw the directions away and then dig them out of the trash later when you can't put something together. Chuck, you just got elbowed, didn't you? See, we're that way. We want to do it of ourselves, because we think we got it going on. But reality is, we don't. We need to take a moment and realize that we have a great task ahead of us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the entire world, and we cannot do it on our own. This is the apostle Paul. Paul. Yeah, that's what I read, right? It was Paul. He just got out of jail. You guys got to look back. I read it to you. What did it say? Huh? What did it say? Joe? What did it say? Peter and John. See, I told you guys pay attention here. Track with me. We're going to get lost if you don't do that. Because I need help. That's up here. I can't see it no more. Peter and John. Peter's the rock. And he said, let's pray. And they prayed and went back to the source. Go back to the correct source for power and support. It's not you. It's not people around you. You got to go back to God. If God gives you a tremendous, mighty task ahead of you, get the right information. Go back to the source. Advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to change the entire world. You got to go back to the right source there, folks. Get the power. Got to clarify your purpose. Now, you guys don't ever get distracted. Anybody walk in the kitchen, get a cup of water, and come out with a bag of potato chips? And leave the cup of water back here, never even got one? Why? You forgot what you're doing. You lost it. So clarify your task. We got to make sure we know what we're doing. We got to make sure we understand what we're doing. And anything we're going to try to accomplish in life, even if it's in our professional career, if you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, you're not going to be doing it. Another way to put it, you got to keep the main thing. If you don't know what the main thing is, you're never going to accomplish it. In this text, the main thing is what? Hello? Okay, your answer. Speak God's word. Exactly. The main thing in this text is your job as believers is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ by proclaiming his word, going out and telling other people about it. That's your task as believers. Did you know that? That's what it says. Do you believe what it says? Yes. If it's written, it's in there, you believe it, it says it, you do it, right? Theoretically, that works. You guys got to see, because the next thing says you got to understand your role and your position first. In this text, there's a group of people called the apostles. They are the ones that God appointed through Jesus Christ, said, you guys are going to establish a church. You guys are the ones that I put in charge. Those apostles said, okay, you guys are disciples. You're going to go out, the believers, you're going to go out and advance the gospel. And then they traveled out and started churches throughout the area. All right? And as they started, they said, okay, here's a new church. By the way, the Apostle Paul, he tells us this in the book of Timothy and also the book of Titus. They establish a church, and then there's elders put in place. So now that local establishment, you have God, elders, and then all of us, the believers. It's a theocracy in church, not a democracy. We forget that. You heard me say this before. We believe the elders represent us, so they do what we want them to do. It doesn't work that way. They're appointed by God. They're supposed to do what God wants them to do, and then they tell us part of it, and this is what we're supposed to do. And so they will make decisions that we don't understand, we won't like, and we'll be disappointed by. And then we'll get mad at them. And we say, but you're the leaders, and you're supposed to do it my way. It doesn't say it that way, does it? And there's things that they will not be able to tell you because they can't tell you. It's private information for other people, and they don't want to destroy people, so they have to keep it quiet. You know, did you see Mike Ladd up here? He's on the guitar. Yes, yeah, tall, skinny one. Do you know what his nickname is around here? Nope. This, and you might not believe me, but when I tell you, he's the mean elder. People say, I say, why do you call him the mean elder? Because he just tells you what he thinks. Well, is it truth? Well, but I don't like the way he says it. Oh, but is it true? That don't matter. I don't like his tone. But is it true? I guarantee you, Mike will tell you the truth. You might not like how he tells you. He may be very direct. That's why he's not up here. He's more direct than I am. Sometimes. Somebody who is trains with him. You're right. He's tough, isn't he, on you? Yeah, you're looking behind you. Yeah. I saw you nod your head when I say he's tough. You're looking for Mike. He's not in here. He was first service. You're nervous, aren't you? Sure enough. You got to understand your role. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're out of your role, see, God gifts us and has us doing certain things at certain times for certain reasons because the way he made us. That's why we're doing it. And if you're in a different role than you're supposed to be in, it doesn't work so good. Occasionally, you can get away with it. Like Dusty's, his role and his gift is preaching. So he preaches. Not so much my gift. See, if I was up here every week and was direct as I usually am, you guys would get really torqued off at me. Wouldn't be the first time. Sometimes I have to be up here and you still get torqued off at me, but that's okay. Dusty, his gift is preaching, so he preaches. He understands his position, his role. Elders are put in a leadership position to lead. Our role as believers is to follow their lead. One of the things is when you're given a mighty and a task and it's overwhelming, one of the things that we love to do is we'll start that tomorrow because you got to start early in the morning. All right, we'll start it. You know, next week when I'm not as busy, we'll start it, you know, after the kids are raised, I'm going to get, or do you guys procrastinate? Never. I didn't think so. Yeah, man. I was told to make sure I don't meddle. I could preach, but don't meddle. That right there would take me up around that line. If I started telling you what is running through my brain right now, it'd be meddling. And I know a lot of y'all pretty good, so that would be mainly, so I'll stop. Got to tell you a story. Acts chapter 6 and 7, this also why Dusty was thrilled I'd get this text, is where my biblical heroes come from. His name's Stephen. What do y'all know about Stephen? What? He was stoned with rocks, not drugs. Alan, you know something? Drug addict in the Bible. He's being difficult. Anyway, he was stoned, yes. Why was he stoned? With rocks, not drugs. For boldness. See, he was there. He heard the prayer of boldness about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he went out and did it. And guess what? The religious establishment of the day did not like it. They were torqued off. And so they took a stand against him. And so they said, you know, this guy's causing us all kinds of problems. He's making us uncomfortable. He's telling us all this stuff that we don't want to do. He's telling us we need to change. Let's get rid of him. So they went over and said, you know, let's say, because he's talking about Jesus and destroying the temple and building it back up and all that, he is blaspheming against the law of Moses. So they go out and arrest him. They bring him in before the religious leaders. We have witnesses saying that you're blaspheming against the Mosaic law. What do you say about that? Is it true? These are the smart people, the religious leaders. They grew up and they were studied and trained in the Old Testament law. They knew the Bible. Stephen, an uneducated individual who got the call by Jesus Christ and he started following Jesus, he says, yeah, let me tell you a little something I know. He says, I know that the descendants of Abraham are going to prosper. And from that point on, the religious establishment has persecuted, has put to death God's servants. And even you, he points at him. I can picture this in my mind. Even you people, the religious leaders, put Jesus to death. Because you don't like what he had to say. The people gnashed their teeth together, clenched their jaws, and got angry at him. Grabbed stones and stoned him. And as the stones were being hurled at him, he says, he looks up in heaven and says, I see the heavens open, I see Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God. And as he falls to the ground, he says, forgive them of their sin, just like Jesus did on the cross. And he fell asleep. Died. He was stoned to death. Can you imagine what happened next? See, I start looking at the witnesses around it that saw what happened. And what I learned is the perspective is everything. And your own personal perspective is your reality. It's your personal reality. When they were looking at what was going on, when they were seeing what happened, they watched Stephen proclaim, they watched the stones be hurled, they watched him die. And I could see people going, you know what? By the way, did you know if you turn this tablet this way, it flips upside down, and you have to wait for it to flip back up so I can see my notes again? Very distracting. Very distracting. You know what the people did? They created negative ripples. They start going, oh, man, he died. What an idiot. He saw the stones. Why didn't he just shut his mouth? If he kept his mouth shut, he'd still be alive. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what he just did. I'm not going to go out and tell people what just happened. And they start murmuring and gossiping. Actually, it's gossip and murmuring in your notes. And they start talking about this. Can you believe that? You know, if he had his facts right, they wouldn't have done it. Can you believe it? What kind of God would make you go out and proclaim something that you know you're going to die for? I want nothing about that. What's amazing is the way things go on then, the gossip and the murmuring happens today in the modern church. There's people that complain. There's people that don't like what's going on. And they only hear partial truth or get pieces of information and they start talking about it. Hey, did you hear Dave Corman? Man, you know what's going on in his life, don't you? Oh, you don't? You don't know what's going on in Dave's life? Oh, well, I can't tell you. And they walk away. And then you hear and you go, wow, man, something's going on in Dave's life. I wonder what's going on with, man, that poor guy. And you go, did you hear what's going on in Dave's life? There's something really bad going on in Dave's life. We need to pray for him. Amen, yeah. And then the next person says, oh, we got to pray for Dave. I wonder what it is. Well, you know, he's probably bad. I bet you he's doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing. I wonder what that would be. Dave's waiting for me to throw something out there. I'll be nice, Dave. I'll stop. But you know, that's how it goes. We start gossiping. We have no information, but we start making it up. We fill in the blanks when we don't know something. Just make it up. It's all right. No, bulletin, the blanks in the bulletin, you had to fill out with what I tell you, though. You can't fill in those on your own. It's my job. Murmuring. You know what murmuring is, don't you? See, murmuring started back in the Old Testament. It was great. These people just walked through the Red Sea. I mean, water's part of left, part of right, and they walk through on dry ground. They get through the other side of water, come back, kill Pharaoh's army, and people said, man, I sure like it when we're in captivity a little bit better. Oh, you just got free. You just saw God himself part the waters. Great things happen, and you're going to start complaining. You know, I sure liked it when the walls were blue in church, and I don't like that color now. I sure liked it when Joby wears a coat and tie to church. He only wears them if somebody dies now. True. If I showed up in a coat and tie, you guys wonder what was happening. Anyway, back here. And we start complaining how things used to be versus how they are now, and we don't like it. You know, I remember when he used to play the piano and the organ, and that was great music. That was the music that God listened to. Not a guitar and drum. And we complain about things. We don't like the change. We don't like being moved from our spot. And then the negative ripples are remembered longer. See, people like to focus on the negative. If there was a train wreck, you'd watch it, wouldn't you? Go, let's see what happens. Ooh! And you look back. Make sure you saw it all. We like the negative. Watch the news. Do they tell you all the positive stories, or do they just talk about the negative stories? Okay, thanks. I just make sure I was not the only one still here listening. We like the negative. In a church, it kills a church. And see, here's what I hear right now. Look, we have empty pews. People are leaving. You know, we have a lot of people that are unhappy with church. And I ask, okay, who's a lot of people? Well, I can't tell you their names. It's in confidence. They told me. Also, a lot of people, a lot. Define it. We use the words like a lot and they and them as an undescript term to make it bigger than what it really is. And that way, if it's really our feelings, we can pass off as somebody else's feelings. Yeah, are there people that don't like church? I guarantee it. Are there people that are upset at some things we do? I guarantee it. Because what? They're people. And we don't do things right all the time. I promise you that. We will make mistakes. We will do things poorly. And it will torque you off. We had a great lesson this week. People didn't like some things, and they called me, hey, can we meet? Can we sit down and talk this out? And we talked it out. It was wonderful. They came in with tremendous attitudes. And the issue is brought to hand, and it's resolved. Now, here's what we do. We go back to gossip. You know, I have a problem with Dave. You're like right there in my line of sight, and you're big. I have a problem with Dave. So I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to talk to Joe. Or go back and talk to Chuck. You know, Joe, did you know Dave irritated me? And I don't like him. And he's mean. How about you, Chuck? You knew that too? And he hurt my feelings, Dave did. Oh, I can't believe that. He irritated me a lot. Instead of going and say, hey, Dave, guess what? I don't like what you said to me, and it hurt my feelings. Go to the source. Go back to the person and say, I'm upset at you. That's what was done. And they're right. One of them was my mistake. I did something not thinking, or I thought it was good, but then I realized I wasn't thinking all the way. And so I got to go back and fix something. That's what we do. That's how you handle it in God's Word. Instead of writing a negative, Rick will tell everybody and their brother about the negativism. You handle it. You address it properly. Then you go, let's create some positive rules. See what Jesus? This whole story is about? Stephen says, the witnesses of the lived lives were changed for all eternity. Who was there? You know, go back to the story, book Stephen, book of Acts, story Stephen. You know who was there. All the witnesses gathered their cloaks and they laid them at the feet of one guy. Whose feet did they lay it at? Who? Saul. Who is Saul? Not yet. It's a couple more chapters. But Saul becomes Paul because what he witnessed. He turned his life around. Jesus calls him later and says, hey, why do you persecute me? And he's like, I don't know. Bad thing to do, I guess. Yeah, fix it. 3 days later he was baptized, and now he wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books that we read. He wrote, because he was there on that day. His life was changed forever. He could have said, wow, you know, all these people I just killed, bad. Nobody's going to believe me because I create all these negative ripples. Instead, his life was changed by the positive ripple because Stephen was bold enough to tell the people what the truth was, even though they didn't like it. And their lives were changed. Stephen saw God. He understood his role. And he executed it well. Now, how would you like to be him? Standing there going, hey, guys, what you're doing is wrong. You really messed this one up. And, you know, you're stiff-necked people. Your hearts are hard. And you see them getting mad at you, and you see them pick up stones. And instead of going, okay, you know, I'll get back to you later, and backing off. Man, he stomped the accelerator, moved forward, and ran through it. He made a difference. He understood the purpose. Now, let me clarify some things here. We're talking about, I look around here and I go, wow, there are a lot of empty seats in this place. We could have more people in here. Yeah. But guess what? I don't like the people that are sitting in the pews going, yeah, what are you going to do about it? You need to do something. You need to get more people in here. You're absolutely right. I do. So let me tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just like Jesus did, because he says at the end of the book of Matthew and at the end of the book of Mark, he says, okay, folks, go do it. Go get the job done. You know what the message is. Now go do it. He sent the people out. So now here it is. When you leave these doors, next time you come, bring somebody back with you. And you'll be doing what Jesus said. And it's my job to tell you to go do it, because that's what it says in the book of Ephesians. I'm supposed to equip saints for service. My job is to help gear you up, train you, so that you can go out and do it. Nowhere does it tell me I'm supposed to go do it all by myself, or Justin by himself, or Dusty by himself. It says you guys are supposed to bring him in here so we can do our jobs. We can perform our role. So go do it. It's that simple. All right? Last week, Dusty presented this board up here. So anyways, these are some of the acts that happened. See, the book of Acts is talking about action. The acts of the apostles, things that we're to do. They said, here are some challenges. The month of December, that's my rebooting, by the way. We put those 80-some families participating in Care and Share, bought Christmas for kids, the food baskets, and that represents families and individuals who participate in that. And we can look at it and go, you know what? That's a good thing. We did something good for our community. Now he gave you a whole bunch of tasks that you could do now. One, simply smile. One's reading the book of Acts. And there's a few others that were handed out last week. Random acts of kindness. And if you do, just let us know. And our goal is hopefully fill that board up. That's what we're going to do this next month, is fill that board up with things that we've done because we love God. And then that board will go over on the wall, that side or that side, I don't know. And then he has another challenge that's going to come up after that. And so there'll be another blank board, and they'll go in the next section of the wall. Here's what I know by all that. When that board gets moved over there, it will be evident who participated and who did not. Who did, based on their faith, the acts of kindness for people. If that board does not change and it goes over there unchanged, that means nobody participated. Guess whose fault that is? It's not leadership's. It's not Dusty's. It's yours. Simple. And the next board and the next shine is going to go up. And if it remains blank, guess whose fault it is? It's not Dusty's. He's telling you to do it. Whose fault is it? Ours. Real simple. See, Stephen prayed and the apostles prayed for boldness to proclaim the gospel, and they did it. Because if they didn't do it, we wouldn't be here today, would we? It's that simple. We would not be here.